This is Dan Myler, host of the longest-running Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast in the industry, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Join me and my co-hosts, Ryan McDowell and Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, as we use 60-plus years of Dynasty experience to analyze news, walk through startup and team-building strategies, and highlight trade targets to keep you on top of your Dynasty League year-round. It's a different topic each week on the DLF Dynasty Podcast, but the common theme is always the same, helping you build the ultimate Dynasty roster. Join me, Dan Myler, along with Ryan McDowell and Matt Price, each week, year-round, for the DLF Dynasty Podcast.
I hit the button like I normally do, like, oh, okay, well, we'll just talk for a minute and then we'll get started. But we're going live, so we kind of started already. My bad, guys. Well, I guess I'm Dynasty Outhouse and I have a trading problem.
I'm Rocky Pichella and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Ryan McDowell and I have a trading problem. I haven't made enough trades. That's the problem.
We'll get to that in a minute. Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 200 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And as always, we do. Man, 200 episodes. That's ridiculous. Like, why do people still let me talk? I don't get it.
How amazing is it that it's on 2-2-2-2-2?
Yeah, we had Frank, our new patron, points out, just like, clearly we need to be listening to these guys more, because years ago they saw fit to start on the exact date where episode 200 would fall on 2/22/22, and I'm like, yes.
Also, by the way, on Tuesday,
yes, and that's why we switched to Tuesdays. It was all because of this. My math was off, but yes, 4 years ago, I'm like, there must have been a leap year in there or something. I don't know, but yeah, no, definitely plan all along. Well, as we were about to, well, not hit record, hit go live. And before I hit go live, before I was supposed to hit go live, I was asking you guys if anything exciting happened this week. And like, I can't even be like, this happened, so now it's this. Like, no, there's no more football. And that's, I don't know what that is. It's like, I'm happy because now it's like,
I was going to say, you know, you're happy.
I love the non-point scoring season. This is my jam. Like, this is where I'm a Viking, but it's just like, not a Minnesota Viking. I was just quoting The Simpsons. But like, it's just so weird because usually it's such a point of reference week, this week, that, you know, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl. Oh yeah. I forgot that happened. And yes, Dave, they brought up the exact same thing you did, Rodgers and his Instagram post and his, on the non-announcement on the Pat McAfee show. So run this by me, because while I have Instagram, I forget it exists for many, many months at a time. And I guess I haven't been on Twitter as much as I need to be. What was the Instagram post, Rocky?
I actually don't have Instagram either, but I think I saw it on Twitter. He's basically just thanking like everyone ever anywhere. He's like thanking all the players he ever played with, all his teammates, his executives. He thanks to the Woodley, is his ex fiance, I believe. I don't know what that was about. It was Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers and bringing the attention to himself, I think.
So does this mean he's switching to wide receiver? Because that's a cryptic tweet / if I ever heard one.
That's true. The wide receivers love the cryptic tweets.
So, and I was also joking that, like, shortly after that happened, or shortly after the appearance on the McAfee show, I get an offer of my Jordan Love for a third and a fourth. And again, me not being on Twitter enough is like, okay, what just happened? Did, you know, did Rodman sign the contract? Did, I mean, let's put it this way. Like I said, I'm not going to trade even a backup quarterback for a third and a fourth. But in my head, I'm just like, oh man, did Rodgers and Adams just resign? That's my fantasy need. Like them to, I guess they don't need to be on the Packers. I just need them to be in the same place, because I trust Rodgers to be good wherever he goes. But I have so many Davante Adams. I love Davante Adams, and just that connection works. I know that he's good, but I don't need to put it to the test. I don't need to be like, oh, Adams will be fine no matter who throws to him. Oh man, I'm worried that someone else isn't going to throw the ball as well. But
are you guys worried at all about Rodgers? Like, I had someone retiring. I had someone DM me today and was asking me if they should accept a Rodgers and Adams for Matt Ryan and Eckler, because they were worried they were going to lose Aaron Rodgers for nothing. Like, they were panicking on it. So,
I mean, that's a no for me.
Yes, that was a no for. That's what I told them as well. So.
I mean, I think there's a chance. He's obviously proven to be difficult to, you know, predict what he's going to do, what might happen. So, I mean, I still think there's a chance he retires, but I don't think it's a big chance, and I wouldn't be selling low at this point. And I think that's selling low, assuming we're talking about a super flex league, and I think that's the default on this show. You're taking losses on both sides there. And even, you know, even if he retires, I'm not sure you're winning that deal necessarily. Yeah, at least not by a huge margin.
I love me some Eckler, and he's one of the very few running backs I will actually go out of my way to try and trade for, but no. And I get it. Like, we are, you know, we're doing the mock drafts for the DLF ADP. Uh-huh. And I told myself I would pull this up, 'cause I knew I would eventually reference it, and I did not do it, but, like,
you know, I've got it. What do you mean?
But we are in, I'm in one, weirdly only in one mock draft, but Austin Eckler, I got Davante Adams at the 302. Mm-hmm. That to me is crazy.
So I tweeted about this because I thought it was crazy that Adams is there's a lot of players like this at this point of the year, and most of them are those veterans that we're starting to be worried about. He clearly still has a ton of value to some. Mm-hmm. We run six single quarterback mock drafts, and that's the data I'm talking about here. He went sixth overall in one of them, sixth overall, 1.06. In one of them, I think the one you're referencing, he goes 32nd overall. And of course, the other four were kind of in the middle, and he ends up with a mid-second round ADP. But, you know, just the fact that somebody out there still values him as a top six player, and 12 other guys, folks, are not willing to take him as a top 24 pick, you know, first or second round. His value's all over the place. The same can be said for a lot of these running backs. And I think we're starting to see the decline. If it were me, I would sell him, honestly, which, you know, kind of stinks to say, because I'm not a Packers fan, but I certainly have enjoyed watching him over the years. But he's 29. And if you can pivot to a younger wide receiver that's going to get close in points, I think you should do that. Russ, I wanted to go back, though, and ask you about that Jordan Love trade. Okay. If you've got Jordan Love right now, and you do, and I do as well in a couple super flex leagues, what would be the offer that would get you interested? Would it have to be a late first rounder if you're talking draft picks? As of right now, before we know anything with Rodgers.
Okay, so here's the thing. Let's pretend he's a starter. In most people's brains, as long as you've been around long enough to listen to John Hogue over and over and over again, any starting quarterback should be worth a first. I think we're past that point. And, you know, Rocky's probably part of that reason, yeah. You know, getting those old cheap guys. But even if Rodgers goes somewhere else, Jordan Love starts, I really don't think anyone's paying a first for him. I mean, I get it. He's a starter, but he's not great. You know,
well, I said on, I don't know where I said it, somewhere on one of these podcasts I was on over the past few weeks. Yeah. You know how that is, Russ, but somewhere I said, Love is actually worth less right now than he was a year ago.
Yes.
Because this time a year ago, we thought there was a decent chance Rodgers would be gone to a new team. But there was still the unknown of Jordan Love that we hadn't seen him on the field at all. All we knew was he was a first round NFL draft pick and we were supposed to like him. Now we've seen him with, what was it, one start or two? I think it was one start and some mop-up duty, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. But
it wasn't good.
Nope.
So now, even though we're in that same position, Rodgers could move on, Rodgers could retire, whatever. The value is not the same for Jordan Love.
Yeah, the right away, when you asked me that question, it's funny. I know a lot of people like rack their brains about whether they should take a trade, what someone is worth. And I get myself to that point eventually, but like right when a question is asked, I get that like answer. And then I have to like try and think about it, whether that's like just a gut feeling and completely wrong. But right away, you said that, I'm like, early in the mid second, and I'd probably take it because I don't expect a first from anyone. So give me a decent low end wide receiver too, like mid running back too, and I would probably just be all right. That's fine. If it's someone I could use, I'd be more likely to make that trade instead of holding on to what is either going to be a backup quarterback or just someone I don't want to start anyway.
I mean, we're, you know, doing some of these rookie mock drafts as well. Maybe that's like Jahan Dotson is kind of in that range of this year's class. Carson Strong is falling to the second round. And certainly Desmond Ridder is as well, if not further. So that's kind of the range, you know, or maybe you shoot for the 23 class instead.
Oh, give me a 20. If you give me a 23 first, I'll give you more. Like, I'll.
Oh,
you
know, well, no. I'm in a second.
I was about to say, like, I'll submit it for you. I'll, you know, you tell me what you need me to do and I'll get it done. Let's go.
I used to say, if you know, you give me that next year's first, I'll pay your trade fees.
But yeah, I was just going to agree with you, right? I mean, any early to mid second, especially Ryan asked the question as of right now. I mean, I don't think Rodgers is retiring, and I'm not even sure he's leaving Green Bay. So it's possible Love isn't even a starter for at least another year. So give me the early to mid second, and someone else can sit Jordan Love on their bench.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, there's even a possibility of, you know, if Rodgers does force his way out, you know, that he's traded for Drew Lock, or I mean, you know, like
someone
one of these,
to compete with Love.
Somebody.
I love Drew Lock with Davante Adams.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it could be a quarter. You know, there could be a situation where they don't just hand the job to Jordan Love. Is what I'm trying to say. Whether they bring in Jameis Winston, or they trade for one of these low end quarterbacks, or they trade for a first and draft Kenny Pickett or whoever. It's not automatically Love's job, I don't think.
Did they switch over? Is their GM that drafted Jordan Love still there? Because I feel like if they draft another quarterback in the first without even really giving Love a shot, like, how is that not a stain on your existence?
Yeah. I believe it's the same guy.
Same guy, yeah.
That is.
Gudekunst.
I don't know how to say his name, but yeah.
That's close.
Yeah,
close enough.
Yeah, Dan and Matt would probably be mad at me, but I think that's it.
It is really funny because I was listening to the DLF pod where it was just you and Dan, and you were talking about Davante Adams, and you even said that you still see him being an end of the first, beginning of the second round pick in startups, and that honestly made me feel good because I do a bunch of shows that talk about trades and stuff like that. And it's always just like, I still have Adams up there. I still have Adams you can't put him top three anymore. I get it. You know, you have Chase, Jefferson and most likely Lamb or AJ. Like, there's so many younger players that are still very good that it's hard to put Davante Adams up there. But he's still really, like, him and Tyreek Hill, that everyone is just pushing away. Like, in the Superflex mock I'm on, at the 2-3 turn, I took Hill and Adams and felt great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and me, Russ, are much more inclined than Ryan to still keep those guys up there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can always pivot off those older guys. And the obvious situation is the longer you hold, the older they get, the worse your pivot gets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, last year you could pivot off DeAndre Hopkins for, I don't know. I'm trying. DJ Moore maybe was a possibility. Maybe they were kind of in the same range. And now Hopkins is like a fifth or sixth rounder instead of a second or third rounder. And, you know, a year later now we're doing the same thing with Adams. So if you want to hold Adams and get another wide receiver 1 year, which I think he'll probably give you, then you can trade him next year. You're just not getting as much. So it's that constant battle. And this is what we talked about last week, Rocky. It's that constant battle of do I want the value and the hope for the future production, or do I want the current production and figure out the value later?
And to me, what you said, though, is a little bit, that example is a little bit, to me, sort of the danger of pivoting, though. It's like DJ Moore didn't really produce last year, and you know, on that level, right. Didn't make a jump up. And he's, I guess, not fallen too far, but he hasn't really, I think, quite retained the value he had a year ago either, even. So
right.
that's always the danger in doing the pivot down.
Well, let me ask you a question. I just pulled up one of the wonderful trade tools in the DLF website, and the trade analyzer has Davante Adams worth 615.3 and the Superflex 101 worth 625. So Davante Adams is pretty much worth the 101. What would you guys take in a trade? I know, team specific, because you have an older vet who's producing points and the 101 is going to be a rookie, blah, blah, blah. Let's pretend you have a good team. You traded for the 101. You did not earn it. So here, I'm setting your specifics. Would you trade the 101 to go get Davante Adams?
I mean, it's an easy no for me, because I know I can get another player I like more.
I probably would. But I'm team
Rocky
old guy,
would trade
so.
It for Derek Carr or something.
I would not trade it for Derek.
He'd beat Derek Carr in a second. Come on.
I haven't got too deep into this class yet, but I have started watching the quarterbacks, which the 101 is probably going to be a quarterback in Superflex. And there's no one that I love so much that if I have a contending team that I'd be scared of giving him up for Adams. I don't think any of these guys is like a surefire hit.
Well, I mean, the tough thing with these trades, and we all get these trade questions all the time, like, should I trade, you know, the 1.08 for Chris Godwin or something like that? And it's like, well, that's fine. That's a good trade, I think. But you've got to look at either your own wide receiver rankings, your own rankings, ADP, or rankings that you trust from someone, and try to get the guy that's right above Godwin, or try to get the guy that's five spots above Godwin. With a player for pick trade, it's always a tough answer for me, because my mind kind of goes there, like future first for Keenan Allen. Yeah, that's fair. Unless you can get Deontay Johnson for the future first, that more, or if you can get Godwin for the future first, or you can get DJ Moore or Mark Andrews or whatever. Like, you've got to exhaust all those possibilities. And some of them are obvious no's, you know, you're not getting JT, you're not getting whoever, but look at the guys that are 5 to 10 spots above that player you're trading for. See if you can get them instead.
Good advice from the master.
Okay. So I went on the trade analyzer. You can't just look at the rankings where it just lists all the players and their values. Mm-hmm. So I found the 101 at 625. Let's go a little bit above. There's only two players that are somewhat close before you make a big jump. CeeDee Lamb is at 696. So it would probably take, that's saying the 101 in a second for CeeDee Lamb. Would you rather do that or the 101 for Adams?
The Lamb deal, personally.
Yeah, I'm probably still going Adams.
I feel safer in Adams production, even probably for the next 2 years. I really like CeeDee Lamb, and I think he's great. It's just that that Dallas offense got so weird at the end of the year for no reason whatsoever. It seemed like, at least.
I will say, I keep saying Adams, but I'm assuming he's still with Rodgers. If we knew for sure that Rodgers was going to be with Adams still, I'd feel more confident about it. I am a little shaky with the idea of Jordan Love throwing Adams, and I might be more inclined to do one of those other deals.
Don't you think, though, if Rodgers is gone, then Adams will be gone too? I mean, I know they can tag him, but I just see them either both there or both gone.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. But again, that was the only news we really had. Kane Fasel in the chat said, Adams to the Eagles, right, Rocky?
I'll take it.
I'll take it, man. I'm all for that. That arm on Hurts with Devonta on one side and Devonta on the other side.
There you go.
I love it. Oh, hello, sir. Wait, hold on. I got to change. We have to pay to get a four-person thing going on here or something.
I can just sit over here on this side.
Who's this guy? Wait.
Here, I'll mess with you both.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you both got to, like, Wilson up over the comments. For those who are not cool enough to come and sit with us live on Tuesday night, Sir Scott Fish himself has showed up. And he is here to hang with us for a little bit. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Himself? I don't even understand why that's needed there.
I have no idea. It just sounded fancy in my head. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be here. Congratulations on the 200 episode, man.
Thank you. I'm surprised we haven't gotten canceled yet. That could happen, right?
Ball Rush just celebrated its 100th episode.
Well, the fact that you do, 1 to 2 episodes a year, that's an accomplishment.
I know, 50 years in the making.
You'll get to 200 in like 2035.
We'll all be here for it.
Ryan and I look pretty good for you know, two kids in their 80s.
I feel like it.
Okay, oh, so we just finished up talking about the one news item of Aaron Rodgers not giving us news. So we have Trade Addicts Trades, or we have listeners' questions. Listener questions. The S goes on the end of it. Which do you guys want to do first?
Hey, it's your show.
Yeah, it's your show. I'm just here for color commentary, really.
It's my show, so I don't like making decisions. Rocky, what should we do first?
I'm here to crack jokes.
Let's do the listener questions, because I haven't even seen most of them. So,
all right. And people, if you're watching in the chat, feel free to throw questions in there. We'll get to those as well. I just wanted to make sure we had a couple in case no one showed and I didn't want to cry. So our first question comes from @draft_research. Is it time to zag and acquire cheap 22 firsts? Zag and cheap, both in quotations, in case my emphasis wasn't picked up over the airwaves. Well, Scott, you're here. You're ready to throw some quips out there. What's your thoughts on buying the depreciated 22 firsts when everyone's still clamoring over 23?
I mean, how depreciated are they? You're not trading 23 picks for these 22 firsts. Is that what this assumes right here?
Well, it's just saying because everyone's going after 23. Do you just stay away from that? And people are like, oh, the end of the first is so bad. I don't want
this. Sure. Yeah, I mean, you've played Dynasty with me. In fact, like you've played in those Pigs Leagues with me. I basically never miss the playoffs because I'm always playing to win the year I'm playing. So I will definitely take 2022 first if it's at a depreciated value. I don't think I've noticed that it has been like super depreciated. It just feels like they're the same price, and then 2023 firsts are like ridiculous. That's all it seems like to me.
By the way, Scott with the not so subtle flex there about how he makes the playoffs every year.
But it's just it's the way I play Dynasty now. Truth. It's just my strategy. I go to win every year now. I no longer progressive struggle. It feels like to me when I'm in a league, like six let's just say 40 to 60% of the teams are trying to rebuild and trying to build for the future, which means half my competition for that season is just like moved to the side for me. So I mean,
so Ryan, your partner just called your strategy trash. How does that make you feel?
No,
it's not the first time. In fact, he doesn't even get the name right. He calls it progressive struggle every time. I think he does it on purpose, but I still love him, so that's okay. My greatest
team ever was a productive struggle team. Remember that, Ryan? It won like nine out of 10 years in a row, and I built it on progressive struggle.
I mean, I always say that strategy is not for everyone. So I definitely don't take any offense to that. And I mean, when you're as old as Scott, you've got to play to win now. You can't plan for the future.
You cannot take any years for granted anymore.
Right. Right.
What was it Kyle Shanahan said about who knows if he'll be alive on Monday?
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot the question. Oh, 22 picks. I totally agree with Scott here. As much as we seem to be collectively down on the class and especially the late first, we don't want those picks. I haven't seen, at least in my leagues or the leagues that I kind of track closely, I haven't seen any major discounts either. You know, we're not trading these first rounders for, for Jameis Winston or something like that. So I'm good with buying them if they're cheap. If people are panicking, sure. Exactly what Scott said. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I feel like most of the – like, it's wonderful that Chase hit. It's wonderful that CeeDee Lamb did really well. Those guys we have up as those big, tall, number one wide receiver in the class. Mm-hmm. But it does always seem like it's the end of the first guys, beginning of the second guys. You know, like Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins – and my brain doesn't remember far enough back to go for like, oh, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf.
AJ Brown, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, it usually does seem like those guys there. And this draft year is the year where that is all wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty much what it, this is me listening to other people because, man, I'll know when other people tell me what I need to know. But as of now, it's just, you know, hearing other people chatter. And I mean, that's where I live is in those, you know, nonsense late wide receivers where you just pick the guy you like because there's no ADP because everyone's just picking what they want. So yeah, absolutely. If you do see a discount, maybe not at the price of your 23 picks because those are going to be better, you know, but still absolutely. If you can, like Hunter Renfro, you know, he should probably get his second for him, but if someone's willing to give you a first, okay, cool. You know, take it if you can, but don't go out of your way to do it. And to pivot to Toronto Dave's question in the chat, at what point do you trade your 22 first away for a 23 first in the draft? Now, his question is the 107 or earlier or later. So do you guys like have enough of a feeling so far as to when you're like, all right, let me just pivot to next year?
I mean, again, assuming that we're talking super flex.
Yeah.
107 is kind of the key spot.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Three quarter. 107, 108. I can see three quarterbacks going in the first, and I got 3 to 4 wide receivers. That's about right. 7 or 8.
That being said, I think it's going to be tough to pull off that trade in general because of the hype for the 23 class. I mean, we're ultimately going to be disappointed by this 23 class somehow because the hype and. And I mean, I'm part of the hype and really we all are, but it is crazy, right? Like, it really is. So, you know, if a couple of these quarterbacks land in bad spots and Spiller or Hall look like maybe they're in a committee or, you know, you don't want the wide receiver that the Browns take or that the, you know, Jags take or the Raiders take or whatever, like maybe you offer the 1-3 for that future first and you get shot down. I could see that happen. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't offer a pick that high. I'm in that 7 or 8 range.
Yeah. Yeah. That always seems to be the answer that comes up because like both of you said, that top tier seems to be about 6-7 people deep. And regardless of how much better you think the next year's going to be, I mean, there's a, there's cost in waiting a year, and you're still whether the top tier is a tier higher next year or not, you're still getting a top tier player. And again, sooner or later, you want just to have good players on your team. These guys aren't going to be bad players. Well, we don't believe these are going to be bad players. Clearly, we don't know the future. But yeah, I'm around the same area you guys are. That mid-ish first, where it's, if I can't find that one guy I want or the guy I was hoping to get there, man, it's like the AJ Brown effect. We're not supposed to care about situation because players will overcome. But man, if the guy I'm like hoping there just like falls crazy far down into the into a bad situation, all right, yeah, just give me a first next year. Oh, well, how about if I give you my first and a second for next? You know, you have to start adding to your first to get next year's first. Our next question is from Tacit Assassin 13. If you've ever heard of that guy, Zach asks, well, I asked everyone what they did on their long weekend. And he says, I spent the entire long weekend trying not to talk about Bruno. It was so exhausting. I'm taking the next 2 days off. Good for you, man.
Good call.
Yeah. See, here's what you needed to do. Me and my family went to see that movie twice in the theater, opening weekend and then like maybe a week or two later with the grandparents. And we've not watched it since. Like you got to get it out of their system. Make them think that it was an event at the theater and then they don't even ask to watch.
Oh,
it.
My kids know so much better. They went, we got home and they went straight to Disney Plus.
Oh.
You know, they know you can find any song you want on the internet. Yeah. Like they just,
it wasn't on Disney Plus after, like right when it came out, you know,
yeah,
like
not right away, but
so I think I had that buffer.
Oh God, no, my kids still just walk around the house singing and it does not leave my head ever. Anyway, I catch myself watching the movie. Like I have it on in the background while I'm working because I'm sitting here singing it anyway. I might as well just have the movie on.
Well, I've been, I teach elementary school PE. So once we're ready for whatever the activity or the movement is that day, I turn on some music and it used to be Kids Bop or whatever. But over the past month or 6 weeks, it's been that soundtrack. Yep. So, I mean, I literally listen to the soundtrack probably five or six times a day all the way through. So
jeez,
yeah, it definitely gets stuck in your head. It's not bad though.
I mean I do legitimately think that it's amazing, the soundtrack to
that movie. Yeah,
six times a day sounds like a lot. But now he gets to his actual question. What player is your biggest off-season buy right now and why? And bonus points if they're on my roster in leagues we play in together.
I don't think I play in any leagues against Zach. I need to change that.
Yeah,
That I do either. He might be in one of the Pigs ones, and I don't remember which one.
If Zach hates auctions, so I don't think he is anymore. Yeah. If he was.
Oh, well.
I felt like he was, but maybe not anymore. I feel like that's what it was. I'm sitting here looking at a list of players at ADP to see if I can spot one that I'm like, yeah, that's a buy. But
I'm not used to... Dave says Kids Bop is a throwback. No, it's not. They're still happening.
Oh, yes.
And as the sad, sad man that I've become, I've learned of many modern songs through Kids Bop first before hearing the real song.
Yeah.
Same. So like, I'll be walking through something and be like, oh, I know this song. Why do I? Oh, my God. I know it because of Kids Bop. All right.
Cool. Do they still have Now That's What I Call Music 49 or whatever?
I don't know about that one.
So I'm not used to this because I officially wrote my second article ever, and it was posted on DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And of course, they're both trading articles. And so far I've written about T. Higgins, which if you're watching, I got that guy right over here behind me, and Michael Carter are the two people I've written about. And the two people, well, I've been going out of my way to try and trade for T. Higgins ever since he joined the league. But and I even start the article for Michael Carter saying, I hate trading for running backs, and I hate trading for running backs in the non-point scoring season. It's against my way. But I think Michael Carter is cheap enough, and I really just do believe in the player and the situation that I'm willing to do it now, which feels weird because that's not me. That's not how I like.
I have him in TA3, just saying, Russ.
So what's the trade recommendation? What's the price?
When I use the DLF Trade Finder, another wonderful app you can use, tool you could use on DynastyLeagueFootball.com, he was going for Kadarius Toney, Dawson Knox, like one for ones. Kadarius Toney, Dawson Knox. I saw one trade that was Josh Jacobs for Carter and a second. I mean, I would easily send Jacobs for Carter in a second.
Yeah, the Toney hype has been interesting this early offseason. Like, I've been doing a few best ball leagues, which is a change for me. But I mean, even his ADP in like those underdog leagues is surprisingly high after the rookie season he had and kind of the state of the Giants. So that trade's pretty fair to me. The Toney for Carter, but yeah, the others I'm definitely with you on.
Yeah, see, it best ball is one place I would love to have Toney because he's that electric guy. He's the guy.
That's probably part of it. Sure.
Yeah, assuming he can take five steps without injuring himself, which we know. And also every other wide receiver on his team, and also his quarterback, and also his running back on his team. Yeah, the Giants offense didn't stay too healthy last season.
They had some issues.
Yeah, a little bit. But like watching him play was so much fun. Like I don't remember watching a wide receiver able to change direction like he has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you look at that and you see like that's how Barry Sanders ran, where it's just like he's walking one way and then all of a sudden he's walking a different way. And hey, Casey.
I didn't mean to come in. That was an accident. I was recording my show.
your last few episodes of it, well, all your episodes are awesome, but your last few, like every single one of them had something that just really hit me hard. And I'm like, man, I love this show.
Thank you.
And now you're
scared. This was an accident. This was an accident.
Okay, bye, Casey.
Bye.
Maybe. I was really curious why she showed up in here because I saw that she was recording her show, so she must have just clicked the wrong button. But I guess does anyone else have any right now in the non-point scoring season buys? Like sometimes, you know, you buy running backs usually well closer to the season. You buy vets usually well closer to the season. Is there anyone you're trying to get right now?
I actually, it's funny you said about the. I actually like buying Jacobs right now. I think he's not that expensive, and I was just looking on DLF's yearly player data last 2 years, RB8, RB11. I don't think he's being valued as an RB1. And he showed the pass catching upside finally last year. I mean, we'll see if that continues with the new coaching staff and Josh McDaniels. If the whole running back rotation was Belichick or McDaniels or what, but I think he's not that expensive. I think you can probably get him for a late-ish first.
Yeah. It's funny in my Michael Carter article, which I feel so weird saying I wrote something. I call Josh Jacobs the Jason Witten of running backs. You know, he's consistent. He'll never win you a week, but he definitely won't lose you a week. And compared to other running backs, he doesn't miss as much time. Like he hasn't had any major injuries. He missed 3 games in the last 2 years, which for a running back, I'd be thrilled with.
And despite seeming like it's been around forever, he's what, 23, 24?
Yes, he's been around for like 19, 20, 21, 3 years, and he's like 21 years old.
That feels like last 5 or 6 years type Jason Witten, not the like 90 to 100 catch, 1,000 yard Jason Witten.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I mean, you also have to remember, most people listening these days are like 20, they don't remember there that Jason go. Witten's been in the league that long.
Yeah.
They just remember him as a really bad commentator, which I just forgot that happened until I went to make that joke. Oh,
that was bad.
That was real bad.
Yeah, Russ, I'm with you as far as buying running backs. I generally try not to do that this time of year. I do like the value on a couple of these guys that I think we've given up on too far or too quickly. Miles Sanders and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think both of those guys, you know, they both have their, fair questions and concerns about them. I think they were both probably overvalued at their peak. I mean, we thought CEH was dynasty RB1 for a minute. You know, remember that? So are they top five guys? No, probably not even going to get back to that RB1 range value wise at this point, but I think they can outproduce their current value though.
What about you, Scott?
I mean, if we're just sticking on the running back front, I think Devin Singletary is a guy that could easily still retain that job next year. He could be like the guy that everybody assumes someone's going to take his job either in the draft or free agency, but who's really out there. And he could very well be the playoff guy and late season guy we've seen. And he's dirt cheap. People don't seem to buy in or believe in him, which is fair. I can see that, but I think he's a guy you could probably get on the cheap right now.
And spoiler alert, could pay off. My next article is going to be, cause I was going to do two running backs and I didn't want to put them in the same thing cause it was getting long.
Can we put Michael Carter's check down ability into Zach Wilson so that Michael Carter can get like 10 targets a game?
Oh, that would be so great. Yes. And also about Devin Singletary, I've unfortunately somehow created something called the Outhouse Challenge, which is in your league, someone offers you a trade and then you post it on Twitter.
Yep.
If the side you're being offered wins the Twitter poll, you accept it. So I had my friend do this in one of our leagues and I offered the 209 for Devin Singletary just to feel it out. It was Singletary by a lot. Like I wish I had a little bit of an earlier, like I wish I had like a 205 and I think that would have stood a better chance, but that got just crushed. And I was very surprised by it because maybe it's just because how I think Singletary was like the RB like three, like at the last 4 weeks of the season, he did really well, but it's so easy just to be like, well, Josh Allen's the RB1 on that team anyway. And everyone's like, oh yeah, that's right. Never mind. I don't need Devin Singletary. So I'm right there with you. He's another one of those guys. Even now, I would probably be willing to acquire.
Yep.
And it's funny. We're talking about the are the 2022 picks actually depreciated? Kane Fasel in the chat just goes, go. The 101 is a buy right now.
I agree. It's going to gain value.
Yes. And
I don't think it's cheap, you know, and that's maybe the assumption that some people make. It's a weak class, so the 101 is cheap. I don't think it'll be cheap, but I think you can.
101's never cheap. It's like a guarantee protection against wherever someone gets drafted, whatever happens in the, you know, in the draft. It's a guarantee. So it seems like it's never cheap.
I think the best way to acquire it, because if you're talking about a player, you're still giving up a really good player for the 101.
Yeah.
So I think the best route to go is stack those picks. You know, if you can give the 1-4 and the 1-12 for the 101, I'm good with something like that.
Absolutely. Or if you can get away somehow with how we started with our conversation in the 101, if you can send an old guy, you know, and your goal is to get younger, sending Devontae Adams for the 101, assuming that's something that other person wants to do, would be a great pivot to, even if you don't plan on drafting that one.
You could get anything with that pick, even a Devontae Adams.
Could even be a boat.
If you're lucky.
And I want to thank Zach for shouting out my daughter. What's the coolest hand-drawn piece of Harry Potter-related art that you have ever received? My daughter drew... Oh, yeah, you got... Wow, you got a bunch. I see Hagrid behind you.
Yeah, I got the whole crew back there.
Is that Malfoy just off to the side?
No.
Oh, that's you.
That fish.
Yeah, that's Malfoy. Yes.
Yes. Malfoy hanging with the trophies back there.
Oh, and I see the TARDIS behind you.
Nice. Yeah, got it. Yeah, Doctor Who on one side and Harry Potter on the other side.
I like it. Oh, a weeping angel, that would just terrify me.
I know. I love it's the best episode. Blink is the best episode of Doctor Who. I don't care what anybody else says.
If you are watching this or listening to this and you have never experienced Doctor Who and
start with
you're,
Blink.
You're sick of hearing people talk about it.
I've never seen an episode.
Find the episode Blink.
Blink.
A few things about it.
Are they standalone? Like, can you go straight to
that one? Is.
Yeah, they're all kind of a little bit standalone-ish. Like, yeah.
Sometimes
they have arcs.
Yes. But Blink is absolutely by itself. First of all, it has David Tennant as the Doctor, who is
best Doctor.
By far the best Doctor. Yeah, that's who you got over there. I can see that. Yeah. I just started rewatching Doctor Who because I have nothing better to do with my life. And I just got up to Tennant and it just my heart's glow. And it has Carrie Mulligan in it, who I guess isn't a big deal anymore, but like 15 years ago, that would have been huge.
Yeah.
And it's so intense. It's so good. And because it's Doctor Who, it is still pretty silly and funny. It is Go find Blink. It's such a good episode.
Yep. We'll talk about it on the next Bull Rush ride.
I took a note, actually. I'm gonna look it up and watch that episode.
And then you start from the beginning of the remake.
And then I'll be hooked. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Is the chat loving our Doctor Who talk? Is that?
I'm loving
it. Lighting up the chat.
Okay, so let's move on to at P Win Dynasty asks, have you gotten Encanto out of your head yet? I think we've all just showed the answer is no.
I have. I can barely remember the songs at this point.
Do you want me to sing them for you? I can't.
No, I would rather not.
Entire album front to end. I could do it right now.
That's how we'll end the 200th episode, folks. Encanto sing-along.
I haven't seen it, but my daughter sings that Bruno song over and over again, just walking around the house, my 15-year-old.
It's worth watching. You know, if you are at all a fan of Disney movies or of any sort of cartoon movies, it's good. I mean, that's what it comes to. It's a good story. The music is all actually fantastic, mm-hmm. and it's super relatable. So I think it's a very good movie. Our next question, at noob engineer underscore, keep or trade question for fun and my sanity. 12-team single QB with 2 flex. I have Chubb, McCaffrey, Chubb, CMC, Barkley, Monty, and AJ Dillon. I've always hated running backs in Dynasty, but I need them to win. Now I feel I have too many. My best wide receivers are Lamb, DJ Moore, Devonta Smith, and McLaurin. Upgrade there. I mean, I'm just going to say yes, because I don't want running backs on my team right now. And if you can get someone that values any of these guys as high as they did last year, I would easily sell Chubb, Kamara, or Barkley right now. And Monty and AJ Dillon. Mm-hmm. I would sell any of those.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would, yeah, sure. I would sell any of those to, like, as long as you're not mortgaging all of them, you're keeping a couple. But yeah, I would sell one or two of those to upgrade a wide receiver.
And especially like with the guys you have, like, don't package. Keep all of those wide receivers. If anything, like, send
for a 12-team league. This team seems really strong.
Yeah, like see if you could throw Monty and AJ Dillon together for a super solid high-end wide receiver too. And then you'll have Chubb, McCaffrey, Barkley, and really, really good wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, it's not even something you have to do, but you say you don't like running backs. I don't like running backs. No one likes having running backs on their team now. So yeah, go for it. Why not? Ugh, Steelers fan, gross. At Steeler fan 2WM4. Just a general question. If you feel like you have the reputation of being the guy, guy people can pull one over on trades, how do you fix it?
Don't get one pulled over on you on trades. Bad trade.
I'd say you run every single trade that comes by you through the DLF trade analyzer. No, I'd like
DM Russ every trade.
Oh man.
Well, I mean, you know, unfortunately,
it'll fix itself over time as well, yeah, as long as you stop doing that and start making, you know, decent trades. Maybe just reject trades for a long time until people counter with something better.
And just every trade you offer, make it in like heavily in your favor, let them reject it, and then just be like, all right, never mind.
No, I mean,
it's cool. I don't need to do it.
Yeah, you probably got that reputation for a reason, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whether it's a trade tool, trade analyzer, or Twitter polls, or DMing Russ, or whatever it is, like,
you know what? This is better.
Use some kind
Steeler of resource. Fan2WM4, DM me. I will give you Ryan McDowell's cell phone number.
Yes.
And you can text him for every trade.
And if you live close, he'll give you his address. So you could just stop by anytime, day or night. Yeah. Sorry that there's no easy answer for that. It's just working yourself out of that pit you probably dug yourself into. Oh, God. Zach throws in the chat. Wait until next week when I open a Dynasty Dummies episode with We Don't Talk About Melgo.
Oh, boy.
Jason, oh, that's Jason Real. Jason, why did you change you were the real people.
I found it interesting Ben Albright doesn't think Gordon's going to be there.
Which
Ben Albright's pretty plugged into the Broncos most of the time.
Well, let me ask you a question, the important question. How much does it matter to Javonte's value if Melvin Gordon is there or isn't there?
I think it matters a ton. His value it matters a ton. He's basically being valued as a top five running back already because we assume Gordon is gone. If Gordon's not gone, I think he takes a hit back down to, you know,
not quite as low as he would be, but yeah, people will still buy into the hype that he'll take over. He'll take the majority, but yeah, I'm after Ben Albright came out saying that.
I didn't see Gordon that report. Said that Albright said that Gordon is staying in Denver.
No, Gordon does not think that he will stay in Denver. Gordon, in fact, Albright doesn't think they'll do much at running back. They'll have it be a platoon of Boone and possible free agent or draft pick behind Javonte Williams.
I think that's the assumption.
That's the assumption, right, yeah.
I think that's pretty much what everybody is basing the Williams value on.
I was hoping that they would keep him so I could go acquire some Javonte Williams at a little bit of a cheaper cost for when he's still good anyway. Because he's still good anyway,
right?
Yeah. That I don't know that it would matter much on the production. I think overall Williams was the better runner last year. I think actually both guys had like 203 carries. I think they had the exact same number of carries. I think it was 203. I don't think you're getting a huge discount, even if Gordon stays, but I like the idea.
I acquired my first Javonte share not at the end of the season or near the end of the season. I shipped off in a two trades with the same guy over the course of a week. I shipped off DK Metcalf and a later pick. DK Metcalf, a later pick, and Jalen Waddle for Kyle Pitts and Javonte Williams and an early pick. Ooh. I was pretty happy with that.
That's a lot going on there.
Yeah, but that's that's not the Kyle Pitts trades we usually see. You know,
that's true.
That's not giving up the world for Waddle. I would give up the world for Waddle as opposed to Pitts, but you know, like
that's a whole lot of trade involved.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, speaking of trades, it's time for some Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage. We are going to get the little guy out of the way first. In Trade Addicts 9, someone traded the 208 for Jacoby Myers. Now, all I did when I saw this trade go through was like, look, I get it. The guy scored his touchdown, so he's going to be a wide receiver one now. So go get him for the 208. Good job. But the real question is, do you think that the Patriots do anything at wide receiver at this point? Like, are they going to bring in a worthwhile free agent? Are they going to spend draft capital? Like, that doesn't seem like a Patriots thing to do. And if they don't, is Jacoby Meyer worth a roster? Like, not just a roster spot, because, like, he might be startable if that's the case. Do any of you think that Myers walks into a place where he could be startable?
Walks into as far as he's restricted, so I think he stays in New England. I think New England has to do something at wide receiver, not necessarily a first rounder or spending on one of the top free agents, but they've got to add pieces. Mm-hmm. Maybe part of it is the whole touchdown narrative, or maybe it's just that offense in general. I just don't see the upside with Myers. He's a fun player to root for, but I'd probably gamble on the 208 again, especially.
I feel like last year was his ceiling. Like, maybe he scores a few more touchdowns, but as far as target share, receptions, yards, etc., how consistent he was, he didn't have to battle a whole lot of competition most of the year. Like, I feel like last year, add a few touchdowns was about his ceiling. So I think I'd probably rather have the upside of the pick.
Like, yeah, I'm with Ryan and Scott. I'd rather take the dart throw of the 208 and maybe it hits bigger than Jacoby Myers. You can get Jacoby Myers production all over the place. So
I've been talking to Peter Howard too much. I hear his voice in the back of my head saying, don't you dismiss Kendrick Bourne like that. And I'm not going to try and do his accent, but
TA9 Ryan says you guys are the same person. So
yes, that is very fair.
Another Ryan. Bourne was running too much out of the backfield to deal with, to ruin the receptions. That.
Okay, so now we're going to start from the top, where in Trade Addicts 3, we had a very interesting trade of Stephon Diggs for Saquon Barkley. I stared at this for a while, and I still have Saquon being Saquon in my head. And I'm understanding that Diggs is dipping. You know, Diggs was great when he went over to Buffalo. Then this past year, he still did really, really well, but he wasn't what he was the year before. So what is the upside of the two of them? I think they're, again, this is in my head. I still think Saquon can walk onto the field and be Saquon Barkley again.
Yeah. I said, I said on probably a couple shows in the past month that I'm fairly certain, I'm not fairly certain, but I would place money on the idea that Saquon Barkley has a top five RB fantasy RB year within the next few years, whether it be on the Giants this year or one of the his skill set's just too good not to be able to, you know, possibly put that together. I just feel like that's probably coming, but I still think I'd probably take Diggs on this one.
I think I'd take Diggs too. I'd probably lean towards receiver, especially at this point in the offseason. It's not like Saquon's super young. But also, I was just looking at we don't have the February yet. You guys might have access to that. I don't. The January Superflex ADP, Saquon is 36 and Diggs is 34. So good trade there, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spot on.
It makes you think. It's not a slam dunk for either side.
Yeah, all I could really talk about is the one I'm in. Man, Saquon went at the 402. That's just kind of.
I got him at the 4.12 startup. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have super flex data, the new data in front of me. In single quarterback though, there's like five spots separating them with Diggs going higher. Both of them are third rounders in single quarterback. So you think, you know, fourth rounders or maybe even fifth in super flex. I would take Diggs as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's the right answer, but yes, the answer is Diggs, but man, just the idea of Saquon and being able to have that Saquon season on my team would just make me happy.
It's got to be coming. I think he's gone like two, he's only top 60 yards like once in the last 2 years, like 2 years worth of games, not like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, and it's hopefully gross. Now they have creativity in their offense,
yeah,
and not Jake Fromm in their offense. You know, like things, it's hard to get worse from how things went towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
Next, we have Trade Addict 7, where this was not me, but Michael Carter and the 308 for Noah Fant. Like, this is super easily Michael Carter.
Are they tight end premium or not?
Yes,
0.75. 1.75.
I think I'd rather have the Carter side, but it makes it a lot closer. Like I can see either, depending on roster construction of the two teams, I can see it either way.
Yeah, like before you got on, Scott, I was talking about trades I saw for Michael Carter, and one of them was like Dawson Knox straight up for Michael Carter. And I mean, Dawson Knox might as well be Noah Fant, right? They're that tier of tight ends right below the really good tight ends where you feel fine starting them every week, but they're not those top guys.
We still really haven't seen Okwebanon like take over a major, like he's keeps getting hurt. He's not like, if he starts to take over some major snaps, I mean, Fant might really drop.
And I'm also curious what that offense will look like if they do get a real, like, imagine if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver or Russell Wilson said one of the teams he would waive his no trade clause for is Denver. Like, imagine that. Like, what would that team look like with a real quarterback? We have no idea because they could, whoever's there can,
it's
only
going to be a different offense.
Because we haven't seen a quarterback that can use more than one wide receiver at a time on that team since they've had multiple good pass catchers. I mean, they've had Sutton, Judy, and Fant at least, plus Albert O, like you said, for 2-3 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater and whoever was there, oh yeah, they ended up starting like a wide receiver at quarterback at one point. Like, you know, like there was no one that could actually run a full offense. So I think that makes me even lower on Noah Fant if they do bring in someone that's a straight up actual quarterback. But honestly, they're probably bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo to be a game manager so their defense can win them games. And if that's the case, I'm not thrilled by Fant.
Yeah, I'm with you, Russ. Noah Fant to me just feels like the eternal tease. He's solid enough. He occasionally pops for a big game, but and like you said, even if they get a real quarterback, I mean, there's so many mouths. If you didn't even mention Tim Patrick, so yeah. There's so many guys there. And, yeah, that I just don't
I like
think...
Tim Patrick.
I do like Tim Patrick.
Yeah. Even with our new coaching situation, like Shurmur and Baby Kubiak. Like they don't really use, even though Shurmur used to be a tight ends coach back in the day, like they don't seem to use tight ends in their offense, at least with like the Vikings, and they didn't really utilize Evan Engram for the Giants. And like,
I remember Shurmur going to Minnesota and us, and then like the community just being like, this is Kyle Rudolph time, baby. This is going to happen now. And then like Vasanti Shenko went crazy.
Oh, wow. There's a pull.
Yeah. The Vikings always do that. Like every year it's like, all right, McKinnon, it's time for McKinnon. It's time for, why is Matt Asiata running the ball? What's going on? Like they refuse to let the players we want to score points actually have the ball. Oh yeah. Shurmur.
I'll apologize on behalf.
Like, it's a normal me thing to do, but how did I get on Matt Asiata right now? But all right, Shurmur. I remember the connection. The next trade we have was an interesting one. J.K. Dobbins for the 112, 113, and Terrace Marshall. And just a reminder, everyone listening, while we do, it's a 12-team league, we do the 113 as a prize for the toilet bowl. So that's where this pick came from.
It's a good idea.
I wonder where I heard it from.
Yeah, it's crazy. What kind of crazy genius figured that one out? Out of that one.
Definitely not the same guy where I stole the idea for second chance dispersals from.
That guy.
I would so easily pay this for J.K. Dobbins.
Yes. Oh, it's not close. Like I didn't think this was close as you read it off.
Oh, and real quick, again, Kane is in the chat saying that darn toilet bowl. He has told me when he joined the league, he told me, he's like, look, I hate this. If I win the toilet bowl, I'm going to get that 113. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to time out and never make that pick.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, no. And before I even could type, and he's like, no, I will not trade it away either. I'm like, okay. I mean, stand by your beliefs, man. That's fine.
Cool. Have an auto
right,
pick
you're
for
sparing
him.
Me right now. It was just so funny to be that opposed to it. But yeah, like we have had talks where J.K. Dobbins or the 101, and it was a strong discussion. So the 112 and the 113, just like I remember seeing that and being like, no. Don't complain that you would have paid more because you should have sent an offer if you were going to. Like, I'm like telling my head, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. I want J.K. Dobbins. And it's not like I can go trade for him easily now because.
And then like, 12 minutes later, Russ emailed the entire league. I would have paid more.
I legitimately did go into the chat saying not to be that guy who said he would have sent more, but I would have sent more.
I was talking earlier about, you know, trying to stack up those picks to move up. That may not always be possible. You know, I do think the rookie picks are going to gain value once we see players at the combine and once we know landing spots and draft capital and everything. But this type of trade where you're acquiring that player who some of the community might be unsure about now with the injury and the PPR upside or lack thereof. That's an even better move. You know, I don't think you can trade 12 and 13 for 101 right now. And so instead you trade it for a player being drafted higher than the 101. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happens every year with that 12 and 13, the 11, 10, et cetera, so many players do not land where you think they're going to land or where you want them to land. Mm-hmm. And some of those later picks start to lose value as opposed to pre-draft.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's what happened in 2019, and then we still call it the A.J. Brown effect, where you're not supposed to let that get in your head. But this also might be a good lesson in look at all the rosters in your leagues. Go look at those bad teams and see if they have a worthwhile running back on their team that they might sell a little cheaper. Well, I don't know if that's what this was because I'm in far too many leagues to remember like what teams these were and what happened. But there's a very good chance that's what happened when you sell a running back for two draft picks and someone like Terrace Marshall. You know, that seems like a rebuilding move. And if you have someone that's so in their head they need to rebuild, maybe they will sell some of their aging assets or some of their running backs a little cheaper than most people would. Well, now I got to go do that. Before, what? I can't even say I got to do that before I release this show because it's sort of releasing as we go. Oh, well.
Oh, boy. It's live, buddy.
We're doing it live. Okay, this next one is another interesting one. This is Justin Fields, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the 106 for Lamar Jackson and the 113. Does anyone, do you need me to read it again? You got it? This was.
I need you to read it again.
Okay. Justin Fields, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the 106 for Lamar Jackson and the 113.
I'll take the first side.
It's funny. I said the same thing.
A lot of upside there.
I said the same thing, and I said it without even having to think about it a lot. A lot of people were just like,
I don't think I hesitated.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, did I stutter? Yeah. Like, no, that's pretty easily the Lamar side. So what do you two think?
I would take the Lamar side, but I see it as a fair trade. And, you know, I could almost assume or guess that one side had Lamar and maybe wanted to rebuild, get younger, get some depth. And the other side is a contender ready to try to contend for a title. In
25-year-old Lamar. Let's get younger. I know Fields is younger. I'm just joking around, but.
Well, yeah, and it's not as much. You're not worried about Lamar's age, certainly, but that kind of
quarterback.
If you can use Lamar to get extra pieces, you know, if you think Fields and Lamar are equal this time next year, then this is a slam dunk deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree that it's super close. I think I lean the Fields and the 106 Amon-Ra side, but it's just because that's generally what I like to do is pick up extra assets from elite quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean, I could go either way on it.
I still love sending trades to Rocky where he pays up for quarterbacks just to have him yell at me because he refuses to do that, but I send him anyway just to make sure he's paying
attention. He sent me one time. I'm like, do you even know who I am?
okay, but... This also, what is everyone's thoughts on Amon-Ra St. Brown? I this is so weird to me because it's usually running backs where they have that ridiculous end of the season scoring and then we get so hyped and then it's just never repeated ever again, especially because that isn't the kind of player we as the royal we saw Amon-Ra St. Brown being. You know, he was drafted in rookie drafts late second, early third. You know, he was going to be a great slot receiver, but then all of a sudden everyone else gets hurt and he becomes a 15 targets a game, you know, 10 catches for 100 something yards and a touchdown in a couple of games in a row. Like, do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown for the 113 is, because I mean, to me, that's how I broke this trade down. Like, Fields in the 106 for Lamar and then Amon-Ra for the 113. Like, would you pay a first for Amon-Ra St. Brown right now?
I'd pay the 113.
Sure. I'd pay a late first for
Amon-Ra. Yeah, I'm certainly not all on board with St. Brown. I mean, and this is the easy point to make, I guess, that he did that when Swift and Hockenson were both out. So not only do we assume Swift and Hockenson are back in the lineup in a normal week, but they're clearly going to add some wide receiver help as well because he was all that they had. So the ADP is getting a little high for me. I mean, he's right beside Calvin Ridley and TJ Hockenson. He's ahead of Devontae Smith somehow. Like, that's too high for me.
Yeah, and especially what's going to happen when, fingers crossed and assuming rational GMing, they'll bring in another wide receiver. You know, they kind of have to at this point. You know, I love me some Terrell the Gazelle. I had hope for Quintez Cephas, but it seems like none of that's happening. So they have to bring in more pass catchers there because they don't really have any. And if that does hurt Amon-Ra's value, like, further than it should, because let's face it, like you said, he's way too high valued right now. If it knocks him below, like, wide receiver 30, like, if it drops him below wide receiver 3 value, I think I might be buying at that point, but right now I it's ridiculous to me how that jump he made based on like 3 games where everyone was hurt. It's like, haven't we learned from Evan Engram?
I get that everyone's hurt. I'm also the belief that, you do have bad receiving groups where guys don't do what Amon-Ra did. So I think he's a good player. I think he could be like a mid to low end wide receiver too. I'd pay that price, whatever you consider that price. Late first, early second, 113. I'll do that.
It's funny. I probably told this story way too many times on the show, but, you know, I love the fact that a reporter went to the St. Brown household and asked the entire family, because they have three children who are wide receivers, and, you know, two of them are at least in the NFL. I don't know if the third didn't go or if he's too young still, but
he's in college still.
He's in college still. They asked all of them which is the best wide receiver, and all of them said Amon-Ra St. Brown was the best wide receiver. And it's just like, okay, when you can get someone of NFL caliber to say someone else is better than they are, that means something. Because, like, we had Joe Flacco saying he was the best quarterback in the league, because that's the mindset you're supposed to have when you're that level of an athlete.
Well, now I'm curious. You guys said the other one's in college. Equanimeous and Amara. What's the third brother's name?
I think it's like Osiris or something that.
It's another Egyptian name.
It's Osiris.
It is not Paul.
It'd be hilarious if it was.
In fact, Paul. I think he's like 22 or 23 now at Stanford. Like, he's old. Like,
yeah, he's not. He's
He's not NFL.
He won't be in the league.
Yeah.
Well, he'll do great running the St. Paul Insurance Company or
car dealership. He's the third Manning brother.
Cooper.
Hey, he's a very successful accountant.
Yes. Cooper's doing okay for himself.
Mm-hmm.
The last trade we have on our sheet is from Trade Addicts 8, and this is Najee Harris for Deebo Samuel, a 23 second and a 24 second.
Picks are on the wrong side.
So what's funny about that is this is my trade. I had Najee, I should say. And the original offer that was sent to me was Deebo for Najee Plus, and I just kept rejecting. Like, nope, no reason to do that. Nope. And, you know, the trade started getting weirder and weirder. So I'm like, okay, let's pull this back a minute, and then let's see what I can get away with. Yeah. You know, because he seems to want Najee, so let's throw a trade. So he didn't have any wide receivers I wanted, so I was looking for someone, like, of that Amon-Ra level. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. Does he have, like, a 23? No, he doesn't have a 23 first. Does he have any 22? The 406. I don't want that. All right, well, 23 second, 24 second, let's see what happens. He accepted it really fast, so I'm like, all right, cool, that's fine. But wait, do you believe that Deebo should be worth more than Najee Harris right now?
I mean, I've got Deebo ranked higher than Najee Harris. I mean, I also know what the community says, and I mean, I see ADP and I see completed trades. So do you have to pay, Najee Plus to get Deebo? No, clearly you don't. I mean, you didn't, or the other way around. You didn't give that up. So I'd rather have Deebo than Harris and a small piece, a second rounder or something.
I love having two guys in a trade where all you have to do is type their first name, and there's only one choice in the analyzer.
Yeah.
Najee and Deebo, and that's it. Okay. Wow. All right, so the trade analyzer has not caught up with your feelings, because Najee's in there at 702, and Deebo's in there at 496.7. That is a difference of the 111.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have our new ADP.
Yeah, when February comes out, that will absolutely affect that.
Yeah, Deebo's the 2.01 in single quarterback ADP, and Najee's 1.04, so you'll still see a gap, but probably not as big.
Let's see. Again, I have a much smaller sample size than you do. The one draft I'm in, Najee went at the 110 and Deebo went at the 305. Again, this is super flex. So it's, the numbers are very different from yours.
Sure.
But that's what I thought was more the value. And honestly, it really comes down to, we're in a weird spot in running back where the top isn't as top as it used to be. Like, for a while, when you had players like CMC and Barkley and Kamara, who Saquon every year wasn't doing it, but you had those players that were just breaking running back scoring. And there was a couple of them that got so many receptions that it was just so high above there. And I still go back to saying, it took Jonathan Taylor like 7-8 weeks to catch up to Derrick Henry's score when he wasn't playing anymore, just to be the running back one. So I think the level, the ceiling of running back has dropped substantially. So saying that Najee's like the RB two or three and Debo is the wide receiver, I mean, what, like five or six at this point? Like maybe that's closer than it used to be, because the RB three used to be what, the equivalent of the wide receiver one or two, just because so many running backs would get taken before wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's the only running back I'm taking in the first round, certainly in a super flex league, but even in a one quarterback league, I mean, it's like JT and Pitts and 10 wide receivers. That's what it would be for me.
That makes me happy.
So, and Debo would be one of those.
Yes. Debo, absolutely top 10. Did you answer the trade, your feelings on the trade, Rocky? I don't remember you anymore.
Thanks, Russ.
I got Ryan and Scott here. What do I need you for?
Yeah, I'm just letting the smart guys talk. But no, I'm with everybody else. I take the deep. I mean, with the picks, it makes it a no-brainer for me. I'm more of a running back guy than I think all three of you. But I'd still take Debo with the picks thrown in there. Yeah. Give me Debo in the picks.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if anyone has anything they want to talk about or if anyone has any questions or anything, but we, you know, weirdly got through our show sheet pretty quickly as compared to what we normally do.
Well, I do, Russ.
Okay.
I know you didn't want to make a big deal of 200, but I did want to acknowledge it before the end here. First of all, I thought it'd be fun to give a little blast from the past here.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast.
Oh, no.
The first step is admitting you have a problem. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem. And it feels good to get that off my chest and out into the podcast universe. But let's be real. If you know me, playing a league with me, or have read even just two posts of mine on Twitter, that's not news to you. To me, trading is the best part of fantasy football.
Okay, that's enough for I know.
Thank you. Oh,
it was not just to embarrass Russell, that was a bonus. Because I know he hates hearing his old self. But I just wanted to kind of do that. I thought it'd be fun for the listeners. And, you know, with episode 200. If you don't know, that's the opening of episode one. And it was sort of just to illustrate how far you've come. Not just as a podcaster, but the pod itself. You know, you started off as this pod with just you, and the plan was just to bring on, you know, guys from your leagues and talk about your trades, and then you added Har, our buddy Har, who everybody loves. I love Har, and you know, you guys built this thing up together. Added the B team, Justin and Sidlow, and you know, got on the DLF family of podcasts. You know, thanks, Ryan. And you know, built the DAP network around this pod which has a lot of other great podcasts you should listen to, by the way. and then you brought on, you know, Ryan had to step away, and you brought on some schmo who thinks he knows what he's talking about, and you still managed to retain your listeners. So that's good too. But for real, I just wanted to say congrats to you. It's, you know, 200 is, you know, I've been happy to be a part of this for, you know, a year or so here, but you know, you've been here for the whole 200. And, when I said this to you about, you know, you said you didn't want to do a big thing with 200 because, you know, you're not the kind of person to celebrate yourself, which I know and love about you, but I did want to celebrate you a little and so did some of your friends. So I got a little something here for you. Hopefully this goes well because I am not the best with technology, but I'm going to share my screen here. Got a little something.
By the way, right as you said that, Har showed up in the chat. So, hey, Brian.
And it's there we go.
Dwight.
Hey, Russ, you addict. Happy 200th episode, my friend. Oh, can't believe
it's Andrew.
I honestly can't wait for the next 200. You're doing a terrific job. Keep it up, buddy. Glad to know you. Glad to have you as a friend. And Uday.
Uday.
Hey, Russ. Outhouse. This is your boy, Justin, or Dustin, or Dynasty Zunky FF. Want to congratulate you on your 200 episodes. That is an amazing accomplishment. I'm so proud of you. I'm excited about our friendship, and I'm excited to see what the future brings. You know, I cherish all the advice you've given me in podcasting, allowed me to jump on Trade Addicts, bringing me in TA3, and just the friendship and bond we've created. So congrats to 200, and here's to 200 more. Go Seahawks. Love you, man.
Hey, Russ. Congrats on 200. Amazing job. Keep up the great work. Look forward to seeing you again sometime in the future. TA3 for life.
Hey, Russ, my friend, my family, one of the people in the fantasy football community that I can look at and truly say, I love you, man. You're my brother. Congratulations on 200 episodes of the Trade Addicts pod. I'm rocking the swag as we speak. It's awesome. It feels like just yesterday I started listening to your shows, this upstart new show about trades, because you know me, I suck at trades, and I've been listening all this time, and I have to say congratulations, and I want to drop for everybody listening the piece of advice that Russ put out there, that it's the most brilliant piece of fantasy football advice I've ever heard, and I don't think that I would be winning leagues today without it. And that piece of advice is
Bill McCarthy at Super Duper Flex. From the bottom of my heart, brother, congratulations on episode 200. What a run. You've had a couple great co-hosts, fantastic B team, and some pretty incredible guests. On top of that, you built DAP Network, which truly feels like a family. It's a testament to you, Outhouse, and what a great person you are. Much love, my brother. Here's to another 200.
Hey, Russ, it's Josh at Real Fantasy TL, man. 200 shows, that's amazing, man. That's longevity, and you are the reason why I am even a small part of this industry. My first podcast appearance was on Trade Addicts years ago, it seems like now. You were the guy I talked to when I wanted to start my own show, and now we're over 100 episodes in as well. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do, and I want to say congratulations on 200 episodes, man. You deserve it.
Hey, Russ, congratulations on 200 episodes, man. That is quite a feat. I'm lucky to be able to call you a friend, a co-host, even though I don't get a co-host on Trade Addicts. You know, I get to work with you on plenty of other podcasts, so... Congratulations, man. 200 episodes. That is awesome. Can't wait for 200 more.
Dynasty Outhouse. Holy shit. Larry Monkey here, man. Just wanted to have an opportunity to congratulate you on this great milestone. What you guys have been doing for the last 200 episodes with Har and now Rocky. And you've been carrying the torch, pumping out that content. Trade Addicts, man. You're one of the greats, and appreciate you. Helped me get Dynasty Hot Sauce off the ground. I'll never forget that. And hopefully we can join forces again sometimes, and maybe this summer have you and the fam over for a little barbecue, a little swim, and we'll tear it up a little bit. All right, man. Have a good one, and again, congratulations on 200 episodes.
Hey, Russ, just wanted to drop in and say a huge congrats on 200 episodes. Thanks for letting me be a small part of it along the way, and I can't wait to get on another pod with you soon. And this time, I expect you to be on time. Have a good one.
200 episodes. Wow. Man. For just about anyone, I would say, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. But considering you have 67 other podcasts, you know, that really is saying something. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dynasty Outhouse on Trade Addicts podcast, and man, I was hooked. And then joined the Patreon, and then hosting, and that whole rabbit hole. So you can really say that Dynasty Outhouse is a gateway drug. So Russ, thanks for everything, man. 200 down, 200 more to go. Congrats, buddy.
Russ, 200 episodes, man. Like, that is insane. I can honestly not even fathom doing something for that long, as amazing as you have already in the Trade Addicts podcast. And I'm so excited for 200 more. Like, I want to say that we should get you like a plaque or some sort of thing to like hang up on your wall behind you to commemorate 200 episodes of the podcast. But I mean, come on, we both know that you're not going to hang that thing up in your studio back there behind you. But dude, congratulations on 200 episodes. That is absolutely amazing. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, Russ, Rocky, and the whole Trade Addicts crew. I just want to say congratulations and thank you very much for the 200 episodes of amazing content. I hope to listen to 200 more plus. keep on going. Really appreciate it. Russ, if you could drop me a line and let me know how you keep consistently burning out co-hosts and then finding others that are willing to do all the work, I have a friend who would also be interested in that information. But no, you guys are awesome. I really appreciate it. And thanks very much.
Hey, Shane Manila. And Shane is the worst. What can I say about Russ? Russ is obviously loves trading. In case you didn't know, he coined and invented the phrase non-point scoring season, which is one of the most intelligent and coolest terms that I've heard made in the last entirety of my life. As a person, Russ is one of my close friends. I love the guy. He's a great dude. And he's got 200 episodes of Trade Addicts in, which is amazing. And he also has roughly 37 Trade Addicts leagues. And he does that for the people that listen to the show. I mean, the thing you don't know about Russ is he's generally just a quiet dude, but he puts himself out there for his listeners, and he puts himself out there to the people that he likes and the people that he enjoys. And super proud of him for 200 episodes. He's a great guy.
Hey, it's Kate Fasoli. Hey, congratulations, my friend, Dynasty Outhouse, Russ Fisher. Congratulations on 200 episodes of one of my favorite podcasts. Just want to say that I love you with all my heart, and I can't believe that you got here. It's absolutely wonderful. And I can't wait to listen to the next 200. Love you, buddy.
My voice is still shot from going down to Cincinnati to see the game on Sunday, but I had to give you a shout out, Russ, for reaching 200 episodes, my man. I'm so proud of you. It's been nothing but fun being on shows with you, watching shows or hearing about shows or hearing shows with you on them. It's been nothing but top-notch content. So love you, man. Here's to 200 more episodes with you. Congrats on hitting this huge mark.
Super Flex Dude here, because my man Outhouse been out here getting tenderized like a piece of meat for 200 episodes. Congratulations, buddy. It's a huge accomplishment. It's been so awesome to watch you go through the process with Trade Addicts and grow it and turn it into what it's been and what it'll continue to be. Looking forward to 200 more. Love you, my friend.
200 episodes of Trade Addicts Bob already. I remember when Russ wanted to post his first article, nervous that nobody would read it. Now, the entire network, Russ, Rocky, you know, guys know how I feel about Trade Addicts Bob. It's the only podcast that I occasionally listen to these days. I like to listen a bit more regularly, because, you know, real life has gotten in the way. That said, so happy for you both. What an incredible run.
Russ Fisher, Mr. Dynasty Outhouse. This is Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Happy 200. Congrats on 200. That's amazing. That's a lot of episodes. It's been great to getting to know you as a friend, as a co-host, as a co-writer, as a co-manager. A lot of co's. It's been great giving you all of my money for football cards lately. Congrats, man. I hope I'm here to say congratulations when you hit 400.
Hey, Outhouse, it's Ron DFF wishing you congratulations on 200 episodes of the Trade Addicts podcast. You know, word on the street is you wanted to keep this low key. And, you know, that's fine and all, but not for your friends. We think this deserves to be a much bigger deal. You know, you've inspired countless people to pick up a mic and make a podcast. Get on with you. And that's awesome. But even more so, You've inspired us to be better people in the fantasy community, to be welcoming and friendly to those that wanted to join. And for that, I'm thankful and grateful. You know, I'll keep this short and sweet because I know there's a bunch of people that want to say thanks and congratulations tonight. But you know what? Again, congratulations on 200 episodes. I look forward to 200 more. Way to go, man.
Hey, Russ, it's Casey Kasem, and I'm really bad at making videos, and I'm really bad at communicating how I feel. But how I feel right now is awesome, and the reason I feel awesome is because Rocky told me 200 episodes are here right now, and I'm so excited for you, and I'm so happy to have been a part of the journey, and I'm so happy to know you, my BFF in the fantasy football world. All the help that you've given me with my podcast and everything else means the world to me. And I cannot wait to see you at the expo, if not sooner. So congratulations again. And that's awesome. Just enjoy it.
Trade Addicts fam, what up? It's your boy J Mike, Rocky, Russ. Happy 200th episode. It's amazing to be able to see you guys continue to rock it out. Rocky's come aboard. Amplified the whole thing going on, so it's awesome to see you rocking it. Russ, I'm grateful to be able to do life with you, call you a brother. I love you dearly. Be encouraged, keep up the great work, and all the best to you both.
Hey Russ, it's Tom Everett Scott here. Congratulations, 200 episodes. That is no small feat. You must take all your vitamins. I'm proud of you. You must keep up with your cardio. Very well done. Thanks for all the dynasty advice over the past year. And keep it up. Let's go. 300, 400, 500. Who knows? The ceiling is high.
Hey, Ross. It's your former co-host of the Trade Addicts podcast, Brian Haar. I'm just wanted to get on here for a second and wish you congratulations on episode number 200 of the Trade Addicts podcast. Really proud of you, buddy, for sticking with it the way that you have and turning Trade Addicts into one of the best podcasts around. I was privileged to be a part of the show for, I think, around 130 episodes with you every Monday night. I know the nights change as different co-hosts come and scheduling things happen. So, but for us, it was always Mondays and 9 or 9:30 ish, as some of our other friends like to say. But listen, man, just really happy for you. 200 episodes. Can you believe that? I have a hard time, you know, thinking back to April of 2018 when I joined the show, episode 3. You reached out and we had a pretty special thing there, and you've continued that since my departure, no doubt about it, buddy. You are one of the truly nicest guys around in the fantasy football community, just in general. I'm sure that people outside of the community say that about you, too. I certainly missed, you know, shooting the shit with you, pardon the language. You have to edit that, Russ. We know you don't edit. but that's just inside joke there. But listen, man, again, just wanted to congratulate you on 200 episodes. Totally awesome. Really happy for you. Keep it going, man. Keep it going. Keep Trade Addicts what you envisioned it being. With every episode, I feel like you're getting closer and closer and closer. And it's just fun to watch, man. So, miss chopping it up with you. Miss talking to you on Mondays, but really happy to see you hit this benchmark of 200 episodes. Maybe I'll have to come on there and talk some trades with you, some Trade Addicts trades with you here soon. So, I hope all is well, man. I miss you. I love you. Congratulations on 200.
So, there you go, Russ. Congrats.
Like, I was like, awkward as shit now. What the hell am I supposed to say after all that? Ugh. Well, thank you, everybody, who put something into that. That was super awesome. And I promise I'll wait until I close my computer before I start just crying like a child.
I wanted to see you cry, Russ. I talked to someone.
I told you the same thing when you pulled this crap with Tom Everett Scott coming on the show in the first place. You got to act like you've been there before. And the second you hang up, then you freak the hell out.
By the way, quick shout out to FF Trader Joe, who I got all the videos from the people. He put them all together into a cohesive thing that I could put on the pod here. So,
well, now I'm going to wrap up the show because I have no idea what the hell words are anymore. Before we do head out, our wonderful, awesome guests, Scott and Ryan, for the weird off chance someone doesn't know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do, Ryan, you were here longer today, so why don't you start first?
Sure. Thanks again for having me on tonight, guys, and congrats to both of you on 200 episodes. Really awesome, and glad to share that experience with you guys tonight. Yeah, you can find my work on DynastyLeagueFootball.com and follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23.
Just at ScottFish24 on Twitter. You can find anything I'm doing. I suppose if you're looking for like a public Dynasty League, SafeLeagues.com, we have stuff. So other than that, we have stuff. We have the stuffs. All right. But that's really it. Just ScottFish24 on Twitter. You can follow whatever I'm doing there.
All right. Well, what do I have? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. If you liked, had fun watching and jumping in the chat and talking, you could do that every week with us. Also, we have the awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club you can be part of. And then there's ffpodshirts.storenv.com, where we have all t-shirts, mugs, stickers from not just our podcast, but all the other podcasts on the DAP network and everyone else who was just too lazy to make their own stuff. Plus, we still have all our SFB 11 stuff. Certain that guy right there. And every single penny that comes in for all of that stuff goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So go get yourself some cool stuff. Donate whatever comes in, goes straight to charity. So you get some stuff. Other people get some stuff. Everybody gets stuff. Happy times. I guess on that note, good night. I don't know, man. Like, you're going to spring something else on me, Rocky?
No, that's it. That's it for this week, anyway.
All right. Night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.